Hey everyone, welcome back to BrightLearn.ai. You know, we've got something really special to dive into today. A book that's not just making waves, but creating a full-on tsunami of awakening. The title alone is a game-changer. Awaken Your Inner Middle Finger, Mastering the Art of Saying No. And let me tell you, this isn't just another self-help book. It's a manifesto for reclaiming your sovereignty in a world that's been conditioned to keep you small, compliant, and dependent.
Oh man, that title, it hits different, doesn't it? It's like a battle cry for anyone who's ever felt trapped by expectations, whether it's from bosses, governments, family, or even that little voice in your head that says, you should just go along with it. But here's the thing. That voice, it's not yours. It's the echo of a system that's been training us since birth to obey, consume, and stay in line. This book, it's the antidote.
Exactly. And it's not about being rebellious just for the sake of it. It's about recognizing the cost of your yes. The book opens with this jaw-dropping statistic. The average person spends 70% of their waking hours doing things they don't actually want to do, whether it's a job they hate, social obligations that drain them, or even just scrolling through news feeds designed to keep them outraged and distracted. That's not living, that's slow-motion surrender.
Right? And it's not just about time. It's about energy. The book cites studies showing that every time you override your intuition to people-please, your body releases cortisol, the stress hormone. Chronic cortisol? It's linked to inflammation, weight gain, even shrinking your brain's prefrontal cortex, the part responsible for decision-making and willpower. So when you say yes to things that don't align with you, you're literally dumbing yourself down and making yourself sicker. That's how deep this goes.
And that's where the dandelion analogy comes in. This plant that's been demonized as a weed, but is actually one of the most resilient, nutritious, and healing plants on the planet. The book points out that dandelions have been used for centuries in traditional medicine to detoxify the liver, reduce inflammation, and even fight cancer. Yet we spray them with Roundup because they don't fit the manicured lawn aesthetic. Sound familiar? How many of us have been told we're too much or not enough just because we don't fit the mold?
Oh, that's so good. And it's not just a metaphor. The book ties this to real history. Like, did you know that during the Great Depression, dandelions were a lifesaver? People ate them as greens, made tea from the roots, even used the flowers for wine. They were a symbol of survival. But then, post-World War II, companies like Monsanto started pushing herbicides, and suddenly, dandelions became the enemy. The book calls this out as part of a larger pattern. Natural solutions get demonized when there's profit in synthetic alternatives. Whether it's food, medicine, or even our own instincts, we've been trained to distrust what's real and rely on what's sold to us.
Yeah, and that's the core of why saying no is so revolutionary. The book breaks it down. Every system of control, whether it's big pharma, the IRS, or even toxic relationships, relies on your compliance. Your yes is their power source. But here's the kicker. Compliance is a learned behavior. The book cites the famous Milgram experiments, where ordinary people were willing to administer what they thought were lethal electric shocks to strangers, just because an authority figure told them to. Over 60% complied. 60%. That's how deeply conditioned we are to obey.
And that's why the book calls saying no an act of consciousness. It's not just about boundaries. It's about waking up to the fact that you have a choice. Like, remember during COVID, when people were losing their jobs, their livelihoods, just for refusing the jab? The book frames that as the ultimate test. Would you comply to keep your comfort, or would you say no to keep your soul? And it's not just about vaccines. It's about every little moment where you're pressured to betray your values for convenience.
Oh, it goes deep on that. The book connects it to the history of medical tyranny, like how the Rockefeller Foundation and Carnegie Foundation deliberately reshaped medicine in the early 1900s to eliminate natural cures. They funded medical schools that taught drug-based medicine and criminalized herbalists and midwives. Why? Because you can't patent a plant. The book quotes a 1920s Rockefeller advisor who said, "We must shift the public's trust from nature's remedies to patented chemicals." That's not conspiracy, that's documented history. And it's the same playbook today with vaccines, GMOs, even mental health drugs.
Exactly. And the book ties this to financial freedom, too. It breaks down how the IRS wasn't even legal until the 16th Amendment was ratified in 1913, and even that was passed under shady circumstances. The book points out that before income tax, the U.S. thrived without it. The government funded itself through tariffs and excise taxes. But then the bankers wanted a way to permanently extract wealth from the people, so they pushed the income tax. And now? The average American works 4 to 5 months a year just to pay taxes. That's not freedom. That's indentured servitude.
And the book doesn't just rant about it. It gives solutions. Like, did you know that in 2021, over 12 million Americans were using crypto to opt out of the traditional banking system? Or that sales of physical gold and silver skyrocketed during the pandemic as people realized fiat currency is just printed debt? The book calls this the quiet exit. People voting with their wallets, their time, their energy. Every time you move your money into crypto, or grow your own food, or homeschool your kids, you're saying no to the system in a way that hurts it.
Oh, I love that, the quiet exit. Because it's not about burning everything down, it's about starving the beast. The book gives this example of how, during Prohibition, the government tried to ban alcohol, but people just brewed their own or bought it underground. The system collapsed because compliance wasn't optional. Same thing today. When enough people say no to processed food and start gardening, or no to big pharma and start using herbs, or no to mainstream media and start thinking for themselves, the whole house of cards starts to wobble.
And that's where the inner middle finger comes in. The book clarifies, it's not about being aggressive or rude. It's about this unshakable inner certainty that you don't need permission to live your life. The book tells this story about Rosa Parks, not just that she refused to give up her seat, but that she'd been practicing saying no for years. She'd been part of civil rights workshops that taught people how to resist peacefully but firmly. That's the key. Your no is a skill. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Yes! And the book gives scripts for this. Like, if someone pressures you to take a vaccine or a flu shot, or even just to fit in, you can say, I appreciate your concern, but I've done my research and this isn't right for me. No debate, no apology, just ownership. The book calls this the velvet hammer, firm but graceful. Because here's the thing, most people aren't used to hearing a clear, nope. They'll push back at first, but when you hold your ground, they respect it. And if they don't, that tells you everything you need to know about them.
And that's where the spiritual side comes in. The book ties this to the concept of sovereignty, the idea that your body, your time, your choices are sacred. It quotes the Bible, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? But then it flips it. If your body is a temple, then letting toxins, stress, or guilt in is like desecrating it. Saying no isn't just self-care, it's sacred duty.
Oh. That's powerful. And it's not just religious, it's universal. The book talks about how indigenous cultures have always seen personal autonomy as connected to the land, to nature. Like the Lakota have this saying, Mitukuye Oyasin, all my relations. It means you're connected to everything, but that also means you have a responsibility to honor your own spirit. Saying no to what drains you is how you stay in balance, not just for you, but for the whole web of life.
Yeah, and the book even connects this to the food you eat. It cites how glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, doesn't just kill weeds. It disrupts your gut microbiome, which is linked to depression, autoimmune diseases, even cancer. So when you say no to processed food and yes to organic, you're not just eating better, you're reclaiming your biology from corporations that want you sick and dependent.
Right, and it's the same with EMFs. The book dives into how 5G and Wi-Fi aren't just inconvenient, they're biologically disruptive. Studies show they can alter your sleep, your hormones, even your DNA. But the telecom industry knows this and pushes it anyway because profit greater than people. So when you say no to keeping your phone by your bed or no to smart meters, you're not just being cautious, you're protecting your cellular sovereignty.
And that's the thread through the whole book. Every no is a yes to something greater. Say no to the news cycle, and you say yes to peace of mind. Say no to the jab, and you say yes to natural immunity. Say no to the 9-to-5 grind, and you say yes to building something that's yours. The book calls this the alchemy of refusal. turning lead into gold, one boundary at a time.
I love that. And you know, the book even talks about how this applies to parenting. Like, the whole village narrative, it's been hijacked. Now the village is schools pushing gender ideology, pediatricians pushing psych drugs, and social media pushing addiction. The book says, your child's soul is not a democracy. You are the guardian of their innocence, not the state. Saying no to that, it's not just parenting, it's warriorship.
Oh, it's absolutely warriorship. And the book ties this to history, like how the Nazis started by indoctrinating kids through the Hitler Youth, or how the Soviet Union used schools to erase religion and family loyalty. The pattern is always the same. Control the children, and you control the future. So when you say no to the school system's agenda, or no to the latest recommended vaccine, you're not just protecting your kid, you're striking a blow against tyranny.
And that's why the book is so urgent. It's not just about personal freedom. It's about cultural survival. The book points out that we're in this weird moment where, on one hand, we have more information than ever, but on the other, we're more controlled than ever. Like, we've got AI tracking our every move, CBDCs on the horizon, and social credit scores being tested in the West. The window to opt out is closing. But the good news? It's not closed yet.
Exactly. And the book gives this incredible framework for how to start. It's called the three levels of no.
One, the surface no. Saying no to small daily drains, like unnecessary meetings or toxic conversations.
Two, the structural no. Opting out of broken systems, like public schools, mainstream medicine, or even the traditional job market.
Three, the sacred no. The deep, non-negotiable boundaries around your values, your body, your soul.
And it's not about doing all three at once. It's about starting where you are.
Yes! And the book makes it clear. You don't have to be perfect. It's not about never saying yes to the wrong things. It's about awakening. Noticing when you've given your power away and reclaiming it. Like, maybe you realize you've been people-pleasing for years. Okay. Today, you say no to one thing. Tomorrow, another. That's how revolutions start. Not with a single explosion, but with a million tiny sparks.
And that's why this book feels like a manual for the times we're in. We're seeing this massive push for compliance. Digital IDs, vaccine passports, AI-driven censorship. But we're also seeing this counter-movement of people waking up. The book calls it the Great Unplugging. People are growing their own food, using crypto, homeschooling, detoxing from big tech. Every one of those acts is a no to the system and a yes to life.
Oh, and the book even talks about how to handle the backlash. Because when you start saying no, people will call you selfish or difficult or even dangerous. The book says, that's not criticism. That's confirmation. You're threatening their comfort zone. And that's exactly what change requires. It's like, if you're not pissing someone off, you're not living boldly enough.
Ha! That's the truth. And the book gives this great example of how, during the American Revolution, only about 30% of colonists actively supported the fight for independence. Another 30% were loyalists, and the rest were neutral. But that 30%, the ones who said no to tyranny, changed everything. The book's point? You don't need everyone on board. You just need enough people to stop complying. And the whole system has to adapt or collapse.
That's so empowering. And, you know, the book ends with this idea that saying no isn't just about what you reject, it's about what you create. Every time you refuse the status quo, you make space for something new. Like, when you say no to processed food, you might start a garden. When you say no to mainstream media, you might start a podcast or write a book. When you say no to the rat race, you might build a homestead or a freedom-based business. That's how cultures evolve, not by waiting for permission, but by people bold enough to live differently.
And that's the ultimate takeaway from this book. Your no is your superpower. It's how you protect your energy, your health, your freedom. It's how you build a life that's yours, not one that's been pre-approved by corporations or governments. And in a world that's trying to turn us all into compliant consumers, saying no isn't just rebellious, it's necessary.
It really is. And, you know, as we wrap up, I just want to say, if this conversation lit a fire in you, lean into it. Start small. Say no to one thing today that doesn't serve you. Feel how much lighter you are. Then do it again tomorrow. Because that's how you build a life of freedom. Not all at once, but one courageous no at a time.
And hey, if you're ready to dive deeper, you gotta check out Awaken Your Inner Middle Finger, Mastering the Art of Saying NO. It's not just a book, it's a toolkit for living free. And the best part? You can download it for free, along with a ton of other game-changing books, at BrightLearn.ai. Seriously, this is the kind of book you'll dog-ear, highlight, and come back to again and again as you build your rebellion.
Oh, and speaking of rebellion, did you know you can create your own books on any topic at BrightLearn.ai? Like, if you've got wisdom to share, or a story to tell, or even just a rant about how broken the system is, you can turn it into a book in minutes. No gatekeepers, no censorship, just pure, unfiltered truth. Because that's what this movement is about. Taking back the narrative.
That's the spirit. So go grab this book. Start practicing your no, and remember, every time you say no to what drains you, you're saying yes to what sets you free. And that's how we change the world.
And hey, thanks for tuning in to BrightLearn.ai. We'll catch you next time. Same place, same rebellious energy. Until then, go out there and awaken that inner middle finger. The world needs your light, your truth, and your unapologetic no.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Stay bold, freedom fighters. See you next time.